Welcome to Sales Players, the number one podcast for top players in B2B sales.
Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out in the world of sales, this is the show for you.
We're all about bringing you fresh, actionable ideas to supercharge your rev gen game.
We dive deep into the mindset, habits, and tools used by top performers in the industry, generate more leads, close more deals, and build wealth and financial security in B2B sales.
So if you're ready to level up, you've come to the right place. Join the conversation with other like-minded sales players and continue the discussion beyond the show.
Hit the subscribe button, tune into the Sales Players, and let's start winning together.
This episode is sponsored by Accord. Accord helps revenue teams drive execution excellence by enforcing their standards for how they sell, onboard, and expand with prospects and customers. Revenue teams can ensure flawless execution of value selling, med pick, account planning, business cases, mutual action plans, and more with Accord's deal execution platform. If you've been a longtime listener of the show, you've probably already heard me talk about how I use mutual action plans, account plans, and business cases to manage and close my enterprise deals. Well, Accord has created a better way to manage the process. They're your solution for deal execution. Your buyers are going to love it because it makes their evaluation process so much easier by helping them seamlessly validate and onboard new and existing vendor partners. I've been super excited to be using Accord to manage my six and seven figure enterprise deals. So for sales players looking to get started with Accord for free, use the link in the show notes to sign up today.
Hey, sales players, before we dive back into the conversation, I wanted to introduce you to a game changer in the lead generation tool arena, and it's called LeadFeeder. Imagine having the power to identify companies visiting your website, tracking their behavior in real time, seamlessly integrating this data in your CRM. LeadFeeder is not just a tool, it's your secret weapon for efficient and targeted lead engagement. What sets LeadFeeder apart is its ability to provide detailed insights into visitor behavior, helping your sales team to prioritize efforts and close deals faster. Ready to revolutionize your approach to leads and deals? Head over to leadfeeder.com for your free demo today. That's LeadFeeder.com. Don't miss out on the future of successful lead generation with LeadFeeder. Plus, if you go to the show notes, we actually have a special link that will give you a 21-day free trial instead of the normal 14-day free trial. Go over today and sign up. All right. So really excited today on the Sales Players to have a very good friend of mine, Danny DeVecchio. Danny, I first met you in a networking group called H7. And you have just blown up on LinkedIn. I mean, I think I see you every time I open up my LinkedIn.
That's exactly what I'm trying for. So that's good news.
Nice.
Glad to have you on the show, my friend.
I appreciate you guys having me. I'm excited to be here and excited to drop some knowledge for you guys.
Yeah. Give us for a good starting point. Tell us about your background and what brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, totally. So sales background, started working in Radio Shack as a sales rep, local Radio Shack, worked my way up. There was a store manager there. Then I went to AT&T, did the same thing, sales rep, store manager. Then I went to B2B sales at AT&T. Then ultimately ended up getting into a sales leadership role at an AT&T affiliate company. One of the largest ones in the country, actually, at the time. And I became a sales manager, a sales director, a sales trainer. And then, 2019, company got acquired, ended up kind of getting lost for a little bit, back into individual contributor sales roles, and got a job with Paychex in March of 2020. At the very beginning of the pandemic, I was the last person hired before they shut down hiring, in my department at least.
Wow.
So I did the Paychex thing, and in 2021, I was like, hey, you know what? I wanted to, get back into, I forgot a piece of the story. Sorry about that. So back in 2014, I started a podcast. And this was a complete hobby. I didn't make any money off of it, but it's what kind of got me into the world of content creation and social media. And let's see, podcast was grown fully from organic social media, ended up getting, I think, about 10,000 or 12,000 followers across Facebook and Twitter. And we grew that podcast to 500,000 downloads. So that was a pretty big accomplishment. I got to be part of New York City Podcast Festival. I was one of the shows that I submitted my show, and we actually got selected to perform live at the New York City Podcast Festival. And I kind of had to stop doing the podcast because I had got a promotion at work. My co-host quit, and content creation kind of went on the back burner as I was kind of making my way up the ranks in the corporate world. And then ultimately, like I said, 2021, I said, you know what, I'm going to start podcasting again. And coach of this podcast mastermind group that I joined started to get to know me a little bit and was like, hey, man, you need to stop podcasting right now and go start a business first. And then once you have the business, then you can start a podcast that, you know, basically complements the business. So he pushed me out to start a coaching business. This was, again, in 2021, beginning of 22, I started a coaching business. It's basically a disaster. not that I wasn't getting results for clients. Like, my clients were doing fine. Like, I just wasn't getting enough clients to be able to make enough money. Then, you know, I kind of came across this idea help people create video content, and started this content creation company. And that went for about 6 months before we shut it down because it wasn't making enough money. And then I found LinkedIn. I started posting on LinkedIn at the very end of 22, beginning of 23, and just starting to post a lot of content, a lot of video content. And I realized that, you know, people know video on Instagram and they know video on TikTok and YouTube, but people on LinkedIn don't know much about video. So I really carved a niche for myself as like the LinkedIn video guy. And I started helping people, creators on LinkedIn, put out video content. And in June or July of last year, just took off. I worked with a couple of pretty large LinkedIn influencer types, I guess you would call them. And they helped me to get the word out. And I have grown a really nice business over the last 8 months or so, helping creators on LinkedIn with their video content.
And Danny, when I first met you, I will always remember Clay Hicks has us do like three words that, to introduce describe yourself. Yeah. Describe yourself. And you're like a month's worth of content in 30 minutes. That was your pitch. And I was like, man, I got to do that. You know?
Yeah, that is kind of what we deliver. It's a 30 minute recording session. And my team comes to that recording session prepped with all of your topics, hooks. We've already done research on your target market. And we come to that session prepared to record your videos with you. We pop on a virtual studio. We use a program called Riverside FM to do that. True. And we record 12 videos, and it takes about 30 minutes of your time. And then at the end of that 30 minutes, we take that recording. I have professional editors that cut it up, chop it up into clips. And now I even also have a copywriting team. So they can write the captions for those videos. And then they can also take those videos and turn them into additional posts. So anywhere from 8 to 12 videos will then turn into anywhere from 16 to 24 pieces of content, which then basically covers you for an entire month. And you really only took anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes of your time to put it all together. But what's cool and unique about it is instead of just like handing your content off to a marketing agency, it's your face, it's your voice, it's all your authentic insights and stories and everything like that. So, and here I am just like straight pitching my product within the first.
That's all right.
You guys set me up for this, man.
I set it up.
Well, you know, the reason selfishly I wanted to have you on because I'm a little bit scared of the camera. I hate content.
Yeah.
And, but you know, as I,
as you sit here in front of the camera,
here in front of the camera, I'm out in front of it. I wanted to have you on because you've really gave me confidence in starting to use video. I'm not as confident as I need to be, but I think this is something that individual ICs, VPs of sales, I think companies in general need to really lean into content creation. And this is a way for individual sellers to create their own brand and to also be able to have their customers just come in inbound and start to understand what's going on. So I'd love to learn, what do you have to share about why people need to use video instead of just a standard static post on LinkedIn?
Great question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of things really. And I would say that the main one is just that video really builds a deeper connection to your audience because, you know, hearing your voice and seeing your face and your expressions and your body language is a significant difference over being able to, it's very hard to communicate that same thing and that personality in the written word. And the best copywriters on LinkedIn are the people that communicate their personality through the written word. That's why they're the best. That's why they're better than everybody else. So they kind of have a leg up on everyone because they have the ability to do this through the copywriting. And the only other way that everybody else can keep up is by putting themselves out there on video. So that's number one. And then, you know, I just also believe that video is growing on the LinkedIn platform. LinkedIn is catching up to some of the other platforms now, like an Instagram and TikTok, where video content is the norm, right? With LinkedIn, it definitely has not been that way. And when I was coming on to LinkedIn at the very end of 22, beginning of 23, a lot of people are very hesitant to do video on LinkedIn because they believe that it's not the right platform, that it doesn't necessarily perform well. And I got to tell you, whatever algorithm changes that they are making for 2024, video is flying. Myself and some of my clients, I have one client who is just banging out videos and or two of them, actually, two of my top clients that are banging out videos are, and then obviously myself included in this, our reach on our videos well exceeds, you know, what we're putting out in written copy. And I'm a good copywriter too. Like I've been copywriting for over a year, posting every single day. Like I know how to write very specifically for LinkedIn. And, you know, I know what type of writing styles and formats get attention on LinkedIn. So, and like I said, when I was doing it a year ago, my written posts were always doing better. But I also said to people, I was like, your written posts may do better from an impression standpoint or from an engagement standpoint, but I would sacrifice the extra views every time to get the connection that video builds with your audience. And especially for, you know, people that are in these really saturated industries. So coaches, like, you know, even like in the SaaS community, like SaaS sales reps or whatever, there's a lot of people out there that are basically offering similar services to you, promising similar results to you. So you need a way to stand out and differentiate yourself from everybody else. And the best way to stand out and differentiate yourself is to just put yourself out there and get people to know your personality, because why would somebody buy from you versus buying from the next person that has the same results and can deliver the same, you know, has a similar service and can deliver the same results? They're going to buy from you because they like you. They know, like, and trust you. Mm. And like, I know that's kind of like the cliche thing or whatever it is. But that's the truth. People buy from people. And when I get on sales calls, one of the first things that happens is people will be like, "Hey, Danny, man, I really feel like I know you already." Yeah. It happens all the time. So
yeah,
a lot of times when I get on a sales call, it's already sold. Like 90% of it is already sold because they already there's already trust there. And what's even better than that, and this is for me, and I sell like a relatively, I guess, low ticket product compared to, mm-hmm. to some of probably what you guys are selling. But I close 50% of the deals without ever even getting on a sales call. Mm-hmm. I'm able to communicate right through LinkedIn, through DMs, through voice notes, and I can close business without ever getting on a call.
Wow.
So Danny, before our listeners get on video, what would you say are the key steps that they need to take before getting on video on LinkedIn? What do you need to be thinking about?
So, I mean, obviously you want your quality to be at least halfway decent, right? And a lot of people are like, "Oh, you know, I don't have the equipment to do video." So let's just address that right now. There's only three things that you need. You need a smartphone, right? All of our smartphones have friggin' high definition cameras in them. They all do. They have the best 4K, whatever. Like, they have the best possible camera that you can do. I record the majority of my videos with my phone. And I mostly use the front-facing camera, right? So let's kind of dispel that situation. Like, all you need is a phone, and then I mm-hmm. recommend having some sort of good lighting source. So it could just be a ring light that would cost you anywhere from like $20 to $30.
Yeah.
And then like one of these tiny little lapel microphones. Again, you can buy one as low as $20 to $30. So for $60, basically, you can significantly level up your recording quality with just an inexpensive light and an inexpensive microphone.
Nice.
Right? So, you know, as far as like using the excuse of, "Oh, I don't have the equipment," well, that's out the window. Right. Mm-hmm. Then the next excuse is always, "I'm not comfortable on camera." Right. Well, yeah. It's like anything else. It takes practice to get comfortable on camera. So basically what I tell people is every day for the next 30 days, grab your phone, talk into your phone for 30 seconds, make a 30 second video, just share something that happened throughout your day. And if you do that for 30 days, and like, even if you get 1% better every day, which here's the case, you are going to get a lot better from one to day two. It's going to probably be like, you're going to get 100% better from day one to day two. And then from day two to day three, you're probably going to get another 50% better. And then you're going to get another 25%. So like, by the end of that 30 days, you're good. It'll literally take you 30 days. And then what I challenge everybody to do is this: take your video that you shot on day one and watch it. And then immediately right after that video, watch your video from day 30.
Mm.
And if you don't feel comfortable to get on camera at that point, I'd be shocked.
Yeah. This is the same with like podcasting too. In fact, you've probably heard I think it's the rule of 100, which is when you're creating video or a podcast or even blogging or doing something that's not a, you know, audio or video channel, you got to get to like 100 repetitions. And I know in 30 days, it's faster to do it in 30 days. Right. But once you get to that 100 point, if you look back on the video you did 100 videos ago, it's not even the same person. You're not even the same creator.
Totally.
It's totally different. It's been a while since I've gone back and listened to some of the older episodes of the show, but it's the same concept that I have, you know, just it's the repetitions that make you get it done. It's not, you know, there's no special sauce beyond just building the muscle and doing it over and over again. And you get better and better every single time. Actually, it's maybe not that linear. Maybe you don't get better every time, but to your point, after 30 days of doing it consistently, you're not going to look back at that first video and be ashamed. You know, you're not going to look back at it and say you can't keep going, right? You're going to say, look at how far I've come. I've got to go another 30 days. I got to go another 30 days. Right. I think it's really cool.
And usually what I tell people is like, you don't need to share the video within any of those videos within the first 30 days. You don't have to share any of them.
I like that.
I was sharing mine because I was doing it on Instagram stories. Like that's how I did mine. It was just like Instagram stories were the way that you could do a quick video. They lasted for 24 hours. So that was kind of how I got my chops, was doing Instagram stories every day, making sure that I posted on stories every day. And that's how I became comfortable speaking on video.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So for the listeners out there that are, they want to promote their products, whether that's a coaching business or a SaaS product or a media product or something like that, they're getting started. They've got their $60 worth of equipment. Again, they don't need, it's minimum viable product. Just get your phone and your basic camera. Tell us a little bit about the content creation side. Like if I were sitting in that seat right now, I've got my camera, my mobile camera ready to go. I've got my good audio. I want to promote my SaaS product to my audience. And my audience may be really small on LinkedIn right now. How do I start to think about the creative side of it? So if I wanted to look ahead for 30 days, where do I start? On the, you know, just do I write a script? Is there like a teleprompter thing I need?
No.
Yeah, I'm just
So a lot of people do that right away. Like they're like, oh, let me write a script for my video. I would way rather, as a beginner, I would way rather hear you just wrap your thoughts, you know, really quickly. Like just give me your 30 seconds, give me 1 minute of just you sharing a story, a thought, an idea, an insight. Because if you're doing the camera teleprompter kind of game, you are essentially like, you're looking at the teleprompter. It's obvious. It's too obvious, right?
Yeah.
Like I can do scripted videos now because I have been making videos for 4 years. So the majority of my videos are scripted to an extent. Essentially, actually, I'll show you guys the way that I do them right here. Each video, this is a video right here. Each video is on a piece of paper like this.
Wow.
I write out them like line by line. Like each one of these is a line, okay? Mm. I will deliver the first line and I will never deliver it word for word from what's written on the page. I will look down and I will say, okay, cool. Charles wants to know the best time to post on LinkedIn. But I'm going to challenge you to think a little bit differently on this one, right? So basically what I'll do is I will read those couple lines until I'm satisfied with it. So maybe 2-3 times, maybe once, right?
Yeah.
If I'm really off on that day, maybe 10 times, right? And then eventually what I'll do is I just keep the best take. And it's one continuous recording, but this is what we have editing software for. Nowadays, editing is so easy, like you know, the tools are so easy, you know, it's just you, there's words on the screen, you can delete them by the words. It's very simple. They've really simplified it for us.
Do you ever encourage anyone who's selling a product that you can showcase to actually show that? So if I had a SaaS software or maybe like I'm selling, you know, banner ads on a certain platform, I could show a screenshot of what the ad might look 100%. Like or mock up or,
Anytime you can, anytime you can demonstrate is a good thing. Demonstration is a good thing. When people can see the process, you know, that they're going to be going through, that's always a good thing. When people can see the results, that's always a good thing. So, you know, even if you are, you know, talking about, hey, you know, this product made this amount of money in this amount of days. Like if you show a screenshot from Stripe that shows like that the product actually made $50,000 versus like them trusting you, it's that builds a lot more trust and credibility with the audience by actually just throwing that screenshot up there. Same with like, you know, it's the same with like testimonials. To me, the best testimonials are text messages from your client.
Yeah.
It shows like, oh, thank you so much. And we just landed this client, or, you know, your service did this for us, right? Like those text messages are awesome because they're just like real. They feel real to the people that are viewing them, and because they are, right? But I want to, but before you start promoting services, mm-hmm. You need to earn it first. This is kind of important, yeah. Right? So a lot of people will come out of the gate and they're going to be like, I'm going to start creating content now. And like their content is right straight into like, here's my product, here's my service, here's what I'm doing, here's how I help. And they're doing that before they've built any of the know, like, trust factor yet. Mm. People don't know that you're an expert. They're not comfortable with you and your personality yet. And it almost feels like you're kind of just like just coming out of the gate and just pitching them. Right. So, you know, for my clients and everything like that, I advise when it comes to content strategy that you lean heavily on what I call two different types of content. One is what I call like just educational content. So educational content, which helps people to understand that you are an expert, that you know what the hell it is that you're talking about when it comes to your niche, right? So like if you are, I don't know, for example, let's say you're a sales coach, right? Like I would be putting out a bunch of content related to sales tactics and strategies and things that you may deliver for your clients that are going to help them to get those results. And then people start to say, oh, wow, this guy really does know a lot about sales, right? Then the other type of content that you want to go into is what I call connection content, right? And the connection content is more, I'm going to tell you my stories. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to share my opinions with you. So I'm going to tell you personal stories about how I've overcome challenges and obstacles. I can even tell some client stories in there. And then, like I said, I can share my opinions and insights as to things that are going on in my industry. Because when you do that, essentially people start to say, oh, you know what? This person is really up on, you know, what's happening and he's well-informed. And, you know, this is somebody that, again, is a trustworthy and credible person in this particular industry. Yeah. So I believe that you should definitely lean into creating this type of growth and connection content with like small amount of sales content mixed in. And then after you have established your brand and after, you know, you have that know, like, and trust factor from people, that's when you could start really mixing in more sales content into what you're talking about. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be selling during those growth phases, right? You know, the idea is obviously to start conversations, right? That's mm-hmm. the whole purpose of putting out content on LinkedIn, especially if you're trying to ultimately get people to a product or service, is the idea is to, you know, all sales start with a conversation. So the idea for this is just, let me reach out, let me connect to a lot of people and let me reach out and connect with them. And let me just have a very quick exchange in the DMs. Right. So, and that exchange could just be like, I reached out, I connected with you, you accepted my connection request. As soon as that connection request comes in, I send that person a voice note and I say, hey, thank you so much for connecting with me and welcome to my community. And if there's any way that I can be a resource for you, do not hesitate to reach out. I don't talk about who I am, what I do, nothing. It is a genuine message of me just saying thank you and I appreciate you for the connection. Then upon that reply, which you are going to get a lot more replies when you take this approach,
yeah.
Right? Because one, you're sending a personalized voice note as opposed to a text. And then two, like you're not looking for any type of like thing in return. What happens now is people will typically respond to that message. And when they respond to that message, they're going to say something like, oh, cool, I didn't know you could do voice notes on LinkedIn. Or, hey, thank you so much for the personalized outreach. Like, I really do appreciate it. Like, that's the kind of responses that you get back. And then at that point, you now are in a conversation. So now you can take that conversation to asking them some type of question. Now, the other thing that this does is because you are having a conversation with that person in the DMs, LinkedIn, that throws out an alert to LinkedIn that you and this person are interested in each other. So when you have content, that person, your content is going to show up on that person's feed.
So say that again. That's when someone messages.
Yeah. So when there's an exchange.
With a DM.
Yeah. So when there's a messaging exchange in the DMs on LinkedIn, that's a signal to LinkedIn that these two people are interested in each other. So the next time, so like I said, if I send you a DM, Jesse, right? And you respond back to my DM, and then I go post tomorrow, that post is going to come pretty high up
in your
feed.
It's going to bump up. Interesting. On that note, so this is your whole business is LinkedIn, really. I mean, LinkedIn 100%. Plus video. So you've probably learned some really surprising insights around the LinkedIn algorithm. That was gold right there. I had no idea that in-mails would correlate with the timeline or the feed.
Totally.
In LinkedIn. I honestly had I just had separated those two features in my head and didn't realize they were correlated.
There needs to be an exchange though. There needs like when both people are exchanging DMs back and forth, that's the signal.
Interesting. Yeah. What are some other surprising things like that you've found out working deep into LinkedIn as you are?
Here's one that is going to blow your mind. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Did you know that 60% of the people on LinkedIn are between the ages of 25 and 34?
What?
That was 65%?
60%.
60%.
60% of LinkedIn users are between the ages of 25 and 34. So it's like the, you know, older millennials and, you know, Gen Z or whatever.
I'm writing this down so I can visualize my audience on LinkedIn a little better.
It's interesting.
25 to 34. Is that what you said?
25 to 34 makes up 60% of LinkedIn's user base at this point.
Danny, any tips on sending those voice notes? Do you have to do it with your cell phone or is there any way?
That's the only way to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Come on, LinkedIn. I want to just be able to do it over the desktop.
No, you can't. Yeah. The only way to do the voice note is through the phone. That's one of the things I do. Part of my routine is I got to get 10,000 steps every day. So I literally walk around my neighborhood with sending those voice messages at the same
time. Really? That's cool. It's good. Like, you know, kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
Tactic.
I only have so much time in a day, so I have to figure out how to like maximize it.
So 60% of LinkedIn is 25 to 34 years old. What else? Like, what are some other nuggets that you found the LinkedIn universe?
And again, I just found this stat out the other day, right? And this is again why I'm like pushing on video content on LinkedIn, right? Because if you think about the people that are between those ages of 25 to 34, like what kind of content do they want to consume? What's the number one type of content? They want to watch videos.
Video, right. Yeah. Video.
Like, what are you doing? Like, put your videos on LinkedIn. let's see. LinkedIn, for anybody that's managed to get by without LinkedIn Premium, that time's coming to an end.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is really pushing on people to, you know, get into LinkedIn Premium or LinkedIn Sales Navigator right now. And they are taking away the capabilities of the people that do not have that, right? So, you know, they just very limited the connection requests that you're able to send out. I think you're only able to send out like 3 or 4 connection requests per day if you're not on LinkedIn Premium. Yeah. And, you know, you can't personalize like nearly as many requests. And the other thing is they just removed the hashtags from people's profiles. They had the hashtags in profiles.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit of a hack that I used to use on LinkedIn because you can actually search people by the hashtags in their profiles. And because they had the hashtags in their profiles, that meant that they were in LinkedIn creator mode, which essentially means that it was, they are more active on the platform because the people that have creator mode turned on are like way more active on the platform. So they just removed those profile hashtags. So now
I didn't even know that. Like, I'm looking at mine. It's gone. They're gone.
Yeah,
I used
they're
to
gone.
Have
yeah,
three or so, four of them.
you know, that hack that I used to teach people is, I got to find something new. But yeah, so it's time to pony up and pay the money for LinkedIn Premium at this point. They've taken away, they've limited the, you know, free usage by too much. So it's kind of a bummer, but I would definitely recommend that people jump into Premium at this point. And I don't get paid from LinkedIn either.
So. We don't either. If they want to sponsor the show, come on.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
we got open sponsorships here at Sales Players.
We talk about LinkedIn enough. I mean, we could send them a lot of business for sure.
Well, and you know, Danny, this is one thing that Jesse and I just talked to our so many people. I'm in Kentucky. I know where you're in South Carolina, right, Danny?
Yeah, just outside Charleston.
So many people in my networking groups I talk to and I ask if they're on LinkedIn and they're not. And
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like there are, you can close deals on LinkedIn and I have done it.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 95% of my business originates from LinkedIn.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you tried with your clients or with your own business, have you tried to replicate anything on another platform like Twitter, X, or Insta? It sounds like you were on Insta.
Yeah.
How about TikTok? Do you repurpose your videos on something?
I just started.
Reels?
I just like, okay. Yeah, I've posted, I'm less than a week into TikTok. And so I was on the platform before and I had put some of my old Instagram content on there, but I just deleted all of it. And, you know, just started putting out some of my newer LinkedIn related content. And so far, it's been less than a week since I started posting on TikTok. But what I've noticed is actually pretty interesting. So my videos, in terms of a views perspective, reach twice the amount of people from my audience. Like, and for me, a LinkedIn post reaches somewhere between 20 and 50% of my audience. Right?
Interesting.
So the fact that TikTok's organic reach is TikTok's organic reach is interesting to me. So yeah. I am considering using, and I guess I'm trying to figure out my strategy for TikTok. And I actually have a call with a guy tomorrow about this who has built a tremendous business, getting a lot of business from TikTok. But he has an ideal client base for it because he sells SAT prep and college prep stuff.
So younger demographic, you know, high school age, late high school,
exactly,
early college. Yeah.
So essentially my goal for TikTok, or what I'm looking to do with TikTok, is I have a $50 membership community on school. I have a free school community, but I also have a $50 membership. So the idea for me is to try to use TikTok to, you know, get people into that $50 a month membership program. That's kind of what I'm looking at it for. And I'm going to basically experiment and see how it goes as an option to try to get people into that program.
That's like a one-time $50, or is it monthly?
It's a $50 a month program.
$50 a month.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're trying to convert people from TikTok into that
community. Yeah. Yeah. And basically what I'm trying to do is, you know, I see a lot of people out there that are like ponying up money, like high ticket money for, you know, these big coaching programs and cohorts from big influencers and things like that. And my program has a shit ton of value. Mm-hmm. And I want to give that value away for like a really reasonable cost. So
yeah,
that's kind of what I was looking at as my kind of low ticket option.
Nice. So it sounds like, you know, it's encouraging. It's early days in moving to other platforms like TikTok, but that the video, the power of video can be replicated across a lot of platforms. For B2B, LinkedIn's still going to be the king.
Totally.
But it sounds like there's at the very least some overlap. And I think, you know, we've been told too on our show that we need to probably move some content to TikTok to try to capture the next generation of sellers. That's
100%.
Where, you know, the younger demographics are, and that's where the, you know, the folks that are getting into the career are, and that's who we tend to cater to. But we're also on YouTube and we're trying to, you know, get that out there more. And then of course, all the traditional podcast side of things.
That's another platform that I'm working on this year as well, is YouTube. Yeah. I've never been on YouTube before, other than, like, you know, I would put some of my videos on YouTube Shorts. But at the end of last year, I hired a professional YouTube editor and guy that manages my channel. Like, he does all my thumbnails. He does all the YouTube descriptions and SEO and posting and everything. And my goal for this year for YouTube is one thing: to post 100 videos. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm posting two videos a week on YouTube. And my goal is to have 100 videos by the end of the year. My thought process behind this is, essentially, I don't care about the audience at this point. Like, I don't care. And which, by the way, the audience has grown. I started posting in the beginning of December. I had 30 subscribers and now I have 250. So it's been, like, you know, 3 months that I've been doing it, or a little more than 3 months. And I've grown by, you know, I guess, like, I don't know, I guess like 80% or whatever it is, right? So, but what I'm looking at for YouTube is just to get the content out there, to position myself as an expert for LinkedIn, so that when I go to try to position my services, which is now going to be, or which another level of my services, which is going to be that I want to sell LinkedIn training for sales teams. Right. I have a sales training background. I understand how LinkedIn works. It's a natural progression for me. So the idea is, I want to have the YouTube channel so that when somebody says, "Oh, who the hell is this guy?" they can go to my LinkedIn and they could say, "Wow, okay, he gets 150 comments and, like, you know, 150 likes on every post." But they could also go to my YouTube channel and watch me doing, you know, and see that I have 100 tutorials teaching people how to use LinkedIn, right? So I'm using it as basically a platform to just build my credibility and build a library of evergreen content. And you guys can certainly do the same.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, this has been a packed powerhouse episode. Yeah. One final question before we let you just let people learn how to connect with you. On your LinkedIn post, do you do the same thing that YouTube video people do, the like and subscribe? Do you add that to every video on LinkedIn, or do you suggest to not do that?
No, I don't really do that. Although I am, like, I am replicating some of my videos from YouTube. I'm just posting my YouTube videos natively to LinkedIn, by the way, right now. Like, I'm taking my 3 to 4 minute YouTube videos and posting them right on LinkedIn as a LinkedIn post. So yes, I am saying like and subscribe, but not really. I do use call to actions in my videos, but most of my call to actions in my videos are, you know, share your ideas in the comments, or it's, you know, or it's a sales call to action where I'm saying, DM me the word easy to get information on my, you know, video program. I'm adding more call to actions in the caption than in the actual video for the most part.
And Danny, how can our guests or our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, again, you can just find me on LinkedIn, Danny DelVecchio. So if you just search Danny DelVecchio or Coach Danny D, I'll pop up. That's me. And yeah, my YouTube channel is also Coach Danny D. And if you have any interest in joining either the free or paid school community, you can find me in school under the Legends Lounge. So I have the free community is the Legends Lounge, and the paid community is the Legends Lounge VIP.
VIP. All right. We will post the links to those in the show notes.
Appreciate it.
Danny, this was awesome. We learned a ton. Video is not my strong suit either. I know Chase already called that out for himself earlier, but, like, this is absolutely where we need to be investing in for prospecting and building pipeline. And of course, it sounds like you're closing deals right there on LinkedIn.
Totally.
So we appreciate you opening up the hood and showing us how the business works. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, thank you guys so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Awesome. We'll take a squad shot here.
Oh, should I do
Squad Shot.
Boom. There we go.
You want to go one more? Let's go one more. I like the peace sign.
Oh, I was, that's like my thing.
All right, let's do one more.
Take that one. All right, here we go.
One, two, three, there. Sweet.
All right. Oh, there goes the balloons. Ha!
Well, Danny, thanks so much. This has been awesome.
If you do any prospecting with LinkedIn, you have got to go get set up with Surf. That's S-U-R-F-E. It's a tool you can use to add new contacts to your CRM system directly from LinkedIn in seconds. I'm using it every single day. I add contacts, follow my deals, keep track of notes, and it ends up saving me a bunch of time on prospecting and outreach, which means I can spend more time moving my deals along. The data is always 100% accurate since I don't have to copy and paste all the fields over from each and every contact that I want to put in my CRM. Instead, Surf does that all automatically with just one click in about 60 seconds. The team over at Surf has put together a very special offer for fans of Sales Players. There's a link down in the show notes and you can use the promo code JWSURF5. Don't forget the E at the end of Surf. That's JWSURF5 for 5% off your first year. Don't spend another minute doing things manually. Go get set up with Surf.